True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Parker Romo, that's how you kick field goals, baby. 5 for 5 for our new kicker. 38, 29, 33, 33, 54. Those are not lottery numbers, although you could use them.
Right.
Romo, 5 field goals, the most by a kicker in their debut in franchise history. So, we're feeling good there. We're talking about the Falcons on a Falcon Monday, guys. 22-6 was the final score. We're going to get to what else is going on around the NFL. But Mike and I, look, we're gushing today because it's been a long time since we felt this good about a young defense. And it's taken a while. We've drafted guys that haven't worked out. We've drafted a lot of guys that haven't worked out.
Right.
And it feels like, okay, that these particular young draft picks, these young studs, Billy Bowman, man, unbelievable. I mean, he's just in the right spot all the time. Xavier Watts gets a pick last night. I love to see, you know, Jalen involved. We're talking about Jalen Walker and obviously James Pierce Jr. But it feels like this is something we got like a foundation that we can build on. And, Mike, we got vets. Flo was in the mix last night. So, defensively, guys, this feels better than it has the last few years. That's where I'm at.
Right. I mean, I had so much fun last night because, again, when you have all these – man, we talked about it. It was a little frustrating. We got into that argument about, well, they've got better finish rate, James Pierce Jr., than anyone else. Well, did he sack the quarterback? Did we get Baker on the ground? What matters?
Pressure rate.
Pressure. I don't care. I need to get sacks. So, yeah, sacks for Pierce. It's like the old Oprah bit. You get a car, and you get a car. But, yeah, I mean – Jalen Walker, Bowman, Watts. I had the Wizards, you know, show enough from our defense showed out. So that's great. As we said, we're just arguing about like a little bit of play calling, you know, at some crucial red zone, you know, like if you put together the red zone dynamic playmaking that we're looking for, then I think you have the total package. You can't get it all. And hopefully against Carolina, we do put the complimentary football together. But special teams, as we said, special teams was a disaster last week.
It was.
They bounced back. Defense got home. You knocked J.J. McCarthy out of the game. You took out the Vikings in that stupid horn. All that stuff. Absolutely. I mean, you couldn't have a better game. Now, granted, NBC was probably like, okay, this game sucks when it's 9-6 at halftime, but that's a them problem. I wasn't switching over to the Emmys.
No, watching that. No.
You know, but I mean, that aside, it was, by the way, when Maria Martin wears heels, she makes everybody else look like 12 years old.
I know. I agree. She's like 6'7", it seems like.
I love it. I just always get a kick out of it. One time I took a picture with her and Pollock. I literally look like Buddy Hackett. I look like a Lilliputian.
Look, man, she's doing a lot. She's an ATL, ATLian.
Only panelist who picked us on NBC last night.
And people are like, she's being a homer. No. Maria knows her stuff. But I love what she's doing. By the way, did you say strip sack, by the way?
Strip sack.
Zach Harrison. Yes. These are the things we talked about in the summer we needed. His first career strip sack on the opening play of the fourth quarter. That's what we're talking about, guys. Finished the game tied for a team high in tackles last night. 5. He had 3 solos. Zach Harrison. 1 tackle for loss. 1.5 sacks. Strip sack. That's what we need. Right. That's why we're excited about what we saw last night. And you should be too. 404-726-0929. Defense wins. I know we're all caught up in this offensive age. You got a guy, you have to have teams to be able to get off the field, Mike, and certainly get stops when you need to. Mm. And turnovers. This is something else we talked about. You know, not only the sacks, guys, we're getting picks, right? We're getting strip sacks. You're getting the ball back. Ball is life. That is what happens in these games. All right, 404-726-0929. We got a lot more to chop up. Going to tell you where Andy and Randy are going to be on Friday, so you can go check out our guys on the Midday Show. Also coming up, we will get to our picks of the week, and Coach is going to join us. I'm talking about Coach Brent Key in the 4 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. They played their butts off, man. And as much as we're talking about the Dogs, and that was an incredible game, you got to give Georgia Tech a lot of credit, too, the way they finished that game.
You know, we talked about, you know, Tennessee had had an 8-game losing streak. Now it's 9. Georgia Tech had a 9-game losing streak against Clemson. And you just felt like, oh, man, Clemson's just going to find a way, and Tech's going to let them wriggle off the hook. And that wasn't the case. You know, and to have the physicality, Haynes King is one of those guys. We talked about it at the start of the show. Dabo's, you know, praising him, the physical nature. And we'll talk to Brent because, you guys, it's hard to do what they did to win that game. To get the kicking team out there without the benefit of a timeout, and there's the spot, boom. And then to execute it in that atmosphere, that's a well-coached football team.
It is, no doubt. Fire drill, fire drill!
Yep.
And I'm not saying that to scare you. That's what it's called. And you got to get out there and get set. All right, more on that coming up. We'll talk plenty about the college football world with Dogs and Georgia Tech. And congratulations to all of our schools, by the way, as I mentioned. Everybody across the state pretty much won. Georgia State, Georgia Southern, Kennesaw State. That's a big weekend. Let's get to the NFL and talk some 4th and 1. It's time for 4th and 1. Now, it has no effect on us, but it just tells you how dominant we were last night as breaking news has hit about J.J. McCarthy. And Kevin O'Connell has just said that he has an ankle sprain that will more than likely keep him sidelined against Cincinnati. The crazy thing is, Cincinnati, we now know if you're a football fan, they will be without Joe Burrow for at least 3 months. And now you're talking about two backups playing in this game next week for Cincinnati. And obviously for the Vikings, as Kevin O'Connell has confirmed, he probably will not play this week.
Well, and I asked you this. I texted you last night knowing that if it could be if it's a bad turf toe grade, whatever they said, grade 1 to 3, whatever it is, and he's out more than 2 months. Do you think we could get the phone call from the Bengals about Kirk Cousins?
So they're interesting. Jake Browning is the backup. He was really good yesterday. He was good in 23, and I know most of us don't watch Bengals games, but in 23, Burrow got hurt, and he came in. He went 4-3, 70% completion rate. He was really good, kept him afloat. Mike, I think they trust Jake Browning, and I do not believe that they are in a rush, even if it was if you know they were like, hey, we need to go get another guy. Cincinnati, they just paid everybody. They're not paying part of this salary for Kirk Cousins that we still are looking at and saying, hey, if you want to take him, that's great, but you got to pay a little bit. Cincinnati's not going to do that, and I think Jake Browning is going to keep him afloat like he did
but
in 23.
Do you feel – I mean, I'm not even talking about, like, the ask. I'm just saying just to get, you know, an extra pick to get any whatever you could get for it. You get a 4th-round pick, you get a third – I mean, I know we could say a 3rd-round pick. I'm not even looking for the cash element. I mean, yeah, $5 million, and we'll eat the rest. But you give me a draft pick for next year, that's what I'm looking at. Paul Denner, who writes for The Athletic for the Bengals, saying they're going to have to recalibrate their offense, he says, because there's just a ceiling with Browning that he just can't do the things that Burrow can do.
No, I don't disagree. But that's every backup, right? I mean, we've got the best backup situation in the league where Cousins has started a ton of games. You know, he's a savvy veteran. Most teams don't have that. But Browning yesterday, again, for those who didn't see it, 92-yard drive down the field, game winner, quarterback sneak. Bengals come back and beat the Jags. He showed up in a big moment, hit Ja'Marr Chase on a big play where they went after Travis Hunter, Mike, threw it right at Travis Hunter. Ja'Marr Chase makes a play. He's got some moxie, but he's not Joe Burrow. I don't disagree with
that. Yeah, like I said, I'm saying, because Day-Day was shaking his head, our producer, but I'm not expecting anyone to eat that money or take that money we're going to have. I'm just trying to leverage it for a draft pick and whatever you can finagle for a 2.5, 5, 7 million, whatever. Don't know who would do that. More injuries probably to come around the NFL, knock wood. Hope that doesn't happen to somebody else, but that's the only way. And again, the Kirk Cousins story is a back burner. We're excited about the things that are happening. Our young new faces on defense making plays. Penix Jr., Bijan showing out nationally. But just something to think about when, again, because if you're a Bengals fan, I mean, you feel like you not only your window closing, It's like they nailed the window shut if Burrow's going to be out for that long.
Well, look, I love Joe Burrow as a quarterback. I always have since he, you know, at LSU. I didn't watch him at Ohio State, but the way he plays, the problem is he's been hurt three of his six seasons. And that's the issue. As good as he's – and, Mike, he's already been to a Super Bowl. We keep thinking – like you always bring up Marino.
Right.
We keep thinking he's going to get back. He's been injured three of his six seasons. And now he's injured again. Now, he's not out for the season, but you're out for a large, significant chunk. And, you know, this is the thing. Cincinnati did all this investing. We're going to pay both of your wide receivers. We're going to pay Trey Hendrickson and give him a little bump. We're doing all the things you need, and now they don't have the guy they need.
Right, and so you're going to have to just kind of limp along in a very tough division, man, because you still got – oh, by the way, Steelers lose to Seattle. How about that game? You see that one, man? I mean, already – if you're a Steelers fan, you're just losing your minds about every offensive coordinator you've had roll through there the last couple of years. Interesting news from Carolina. Our buddy Brandon, who's a big listener, just retweeted for us. David Newton, who covers the Panthers. You see this?
He's got an ankle injury, right?
You got a couple of injuries. You got Robert Hunt, the guard for the Panthers, has a torn bicep. He's going to have to go on IR. And the center, Austin Corbett, has an MCL. So all of a sudden, we just saw what, you know, Minnesota had to deal with a missing piece on their line. Talk about maybe feeling you go up and do some Panther hunting. Up 85 this weekend with that aggressive offensive line, defensive line, go get it.
Yeah, let's hunt. And when I said ankle injury, I'm projecting here, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. Jaden Daniels is dealing with a little something.
Mm.
So that's a couple of weeks away. This sets up maybe potentially for a nice little run. While we're talking about Burrow, let's play the injury. This was in the second quarter. Once he left the game, everybody kind of got deflated. But as I mentioned, Jake Browning came in and picked him up.
Burrow catches a shotgun snap, pump fakes, and Joe will be sacked at the 35-yard line. Eric Armstead pulling him down by the feet, and Burrow's limping badly. Joe takes his helmet off and sits down on the turf.
Well, hopefully he just kind of rolled an ankle a little bit, and that's what he's kind of he's pointing at, that left ankle.
Jake Browning begins warming up. Now Burrow lays down on his back, and the training staff is looking at his lower left leg.
When a guy takes off his helmet and then lays back down on the turf, he's hurt. And that was the telling moment for Joe Burrow. It's Dukes and Bell, 4th and 1s, brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Mike, you mentioned the Steelers. They had a special teams gaffe. That's what lost the game for them. It was a game, and if you missed it, balls kicked off in this new age of kickoffs, right?
Got to get in the right spot.
If the ball's in the zone, which, all right, the ball is live, and then it goes into the end zone, and we are the receiving team, and we don't touch it, it's live, which means the other team gets on, and it's a touchdown. That actually happened yesterday, and it completely changed the game for Pittsburgh in that game. It was like, oh, my God. It was one of those things everybody will be around the league will be showing their teams, because we're all kind of – I don't know if you like the new kickoff. We're getting more returns, but you still have to like kind of understand what's going on. And literally, the kid that was back there yesterday just let the ball go by and was like literally running to the sidelines, and his teammates were like, get on it! Too late. Touchdown.
But I watched, because my wife's a Steeler fan, so we're watching some of that. I just thought, you're not getting DK Metcalf involved. DK Metcalf, guys, he had 3 receptions for 16 yards, and they ran it for 72. You know, Arthur Smith always wants to try to establish the run. Rodgers throws a couple of picks as they're trying to make the comeback late, but to only score 17 points, meanwhile, you're seeing Pickens, you know, Pickens making plays in Dallas. That was arguably the most exciting game of the weekend against the Giants.
That game was absolutely incredible. And Big O, while we're talking about that, let's play that, because I think for the Cowboys, they played really well against the Eagles in that week one contest. I really thought they played well. And then they come back, and they've got a lead in this game, and you're going, oh, the Giants are going to fold. At one point, Mike texted me like, oh, Cowboys, because I think the cover was 5.5.
5.5.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, well, we'll see what happens, because I think they were up 4 or something. This game got to the fourth quarter, and it was a completely different game. 41 points scored in the fourth quarter between these two?
I mean, Russell Wilson, he was horrible the first week of the season, and then he comes back, throws for 450 yards. Unfortunately, though, he just airs one out that's an easy pick late. And then we've talked about how important special teams is, certainly for us, and now we feel pretty good about having a kicker. They've got a kicker that's just, I mean, the ultimate weapon. Brandon Aubrey, who came up through, you know, the spring football leagues. This guy is like... When he hit that, if you didn't see it, when he hit the 64-yarder, it looked like it would have been good from 71.
It was incredible. The pick, this is what we're talking about, and this is Russ being Russ. Russ is great. Russ is incredible. Let Russ cook. Russ, who the hell are you throwing it to? The ball he threw that was an interception in overtime, not anybody's near it. There's like 3 Cowboys. You're like, who are you throwing it to? You literally gave them the possession to go back down and win it.
Second down, 14 for the Giants at their own 30. 2:13 in overtime. Snap to Wilson. Looking, no pressure at all. Deep ball down the middle. It's intercepted, for crying out loud, by Donovan Wilson at the Dallas 30. Will wonders never cease.
Yeah. I mean, good Russ, bad Russ.
But the last 5 minutes of that game were just insane. I mean, and the Giants, Philly, they've got it. They're hitting the home run ball. If you didn't see it, man, Malik Nabers just making unbelievable plays, getting behind that Dallas secondary. Remember Cam Scataboo? Remember that dude from Arizona State?
Yep.
Moving the chains, had a score. But anyway, Dallas pulls it out, and Jerry up there in the suite, feeling better about myself.
Worst beat of the weekend for me. Broncos are up 2 points over the Colts. Colts try to kick a game-winning field goal. They miss. Wait, there's a penalty. They get a redo. And he hits the field goal, and they win by one. 29-28. Bad beat. We're coming back. More Falcons conversation. More of your calls on the way. Falcons win. Bijan had a huge night. And we found out what he likes to say, or how he wants to be called by his name. We'll talk about it. It's Dukes and Bell.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This Friday, we're getting your weekend started right. Special broadcast with the Midday Show. Andy and Randy at Twin Peaks Kennesaw. Come by, have a lunch, enjoy some food, drinks, scenic views, and get ready for a great football weekend. That's 11 to 2 at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw on Friday, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Just joining us, that's how you play defense, baby!
Yeah!
Defense did their job last night. Falcons win.
I got that video that your partner on the podcast, Brian Baldinger, posted, where you got Jalen Walker just looking like Jalen Walker beating up a Texas lineman.
Well, this is – we didn't see this, Mike. Camp. We didn't see it in camp.
That's why, guys, when we did – when you listen to Duke Thimble, do you understand the word
coming
out of my mouth? We said that, you know, Pierce looked great because we got to see him. We didn't get to see Xavier Watts as much in camp. And then by the time we were done at camp and back in studio, it wasn't open to the media. That's when Jalen Walker got out there. That's when Watts was more consistently out there. Watts, Bowman, Pierce, yep. Everybody, man. Walker, everybody contributing on defense. And now you're going up against a banged-up defense, an offensive line, I should say, for our defense perhaps to feast on in Carolina coming up in week three.
Oh, yeah, look, things look promising. Nothing is guaranteed.
Worried about AJ Terrell, though.
I am too, because this could turn into, Mike, not just one, not one,
not two.
It could be a 3 week kind of deal where now he's missing significant time. The good news is, I do feel like we have the depth. I'm not saying these guys are better, but we have the depth to maybe withstand this kind of injury. If AJ is going to be out, and look, I don't think he plays next Sunday, and it's right. Monday. I don't think you run off the field. Did you see how he fell, grabbing the back of his leg?
Yeah, it was bad.
I mean,
that's why we're not orthopedists or physiologists, but yeah, Day-Day. I know I asked you earlier. So C.J. Henderson and Kobe are on the depth chart. So you do have in C.J. a guy who started in the NFL practice squad, I should say. Perhaps they'll be elevated because if we get into it, the rest of the depth chart at corner, it's Natron Brooks and Clark Phillips. So I'd. That little meanwhile, Xavier Leggett has not done anything for Carolina. They've been struggling offensively. They're 0-2 are the Panthers.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, man, coming up, by the way, in the 4 o'clock hour, we will talk to Brent Key, head coach of Georgia Tech. Huge win for the program. Huge win for Tech. They are ranked now in the top 20. And more importantly, Mike, I think their path to the ACC and coach ain't going to trust me. He ain't going to talk about that. He's not going to want to say 5 or 6 weeks from now what this may look like. But for the first time in a long time, don't you feel like they set themselves up for a chance to play in the ACC championship game? Like,
yes.
If they handle their business?
Right. You and I, when we said this, you know, as, I remember a few weeks ago, we said, you know, I think this is the year that Tech can make the leap to 10 wins. And I heard somebody on this radio station, oh, me? Steakhouse, well, that means they're only going to lose, you know, if you lose to Georgia and Clemson, you can't win it. You can't lose out. Well, they already knocked off. You already knocked off Clemson, and look, the Clemson. I don't know what that is. I bet some money on them. I thought they were going to bounce back. Not happening. They may still find a way to redeem themselves. Doesn't look like it anytime soon.
No.
But Georgia Tech, you know, again, if the passing game gets more well rounded later in the year, don't lose a game you're not supposed to an inferior opponent, like, you know, a Wake or something like that with a first year coach. Virginia Tech just fired Brent Pry. It was terrible. So things are starting. You look at the rest of the Tech schedule, Carl, and you start feeling pretty good, you know, about where you're at.
You have to. But Coach is going to join us, and we'll certainly get into that discussion with him. If you are tuning in and you're going, man, how do you guys feel about last night? Look, we give you the positives. We give you the negatives. The positives were that you held a team down at their home field, right? Mm. And you literally got off the field when you felt like it. You turned them over. You got 6 sacks. There's just so many positives. The only negative thing that anybody pretty much can talk about is our inability to punch it in 1 for 5 in the red zone. And then you get that leads us to another conversation, which is, what is going on with the playbook? Was it soft play calling last night? What was the deal? Did you just feel like, hey, we ran for 200 yards, guys. We don't need to do a whole lot here to finish this game. Like, there are things as the game progressed that I could understand. But as the game started, you just go, all right, why are we not punching it in? We're ineffective. Penalties held us back. And then, Mike, the play calling, I think, has bugged a lot of Falcon fans just from across the board. It's not one particular thing. It's just, what's going on there? Why haven't we looked more fluid?
And I get it. The pistol is what Pettix is familiar with, but he's also a super bright guy who can work out of being under center. He can work under center. And then, guys, when you run the football as effectively as they are, it sets up the play action. So you fake the handoff to whoever it is, whether it's Bijan or Tyler, and then boom. That's when that one like partial hesitation, Carl, from a corner or a linebacker, and then Pitts is open. And then you're down. And you're also helping your wide receivers who aren't 100% by giving them a little extra separation, right?
Yes.
So I struggle with Zach Robinson at times. I wasn't trying to be a wise – well, actually, I was. I said maybe he's going to be the stump off the Sean McVay coaching tree. I just want to see more imagination. I want to see – and it's not even – Carl, that's not even imagination. That's, to me, that's common sense. A lot of guys agreed with us earlier last night on social media, on the text line. Run some play action. You know, less pistol, more Michael Penix under center. And good things – when you run the football that way, Carl, you're just – The passing game should flow so easily off of that. And you mitigate what Brian Flores is trying to do with his aggressive blitzes.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, they got to Michael a couple of times, but it wasn't anything like we expected.
Now, Grenard had that free runner because I want to say that Bergeron was pulling and Jake had like 2 guys in front of him.
Yep.
And so Grenard just got a free shot on him. But that's about as bad as it got.
All right, 404-726-0929. We've been taking phone calls, and we'll continue that throughout the course of the show. As we're talking Falcons, I want you to hear a couple of things. And Big O behind the glass, let's hear Raheem Morris talk about the pass rush additions. They invested in pass rush, and it's starting to show. It's one thing when you invest in pass rush, Mike. Think about our draft, right? We went 2 edge guys, and then we went basically back half of the defense. And you're trying to improve both of those areas. And in at least through 2 weeks, you're seeing the dividends. Guys, week 1, Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman were the best rookies on the field. Last night, I thought they were the best rookies on the field again. There's no coincidence there. These guys are playing at a level right now where you go, it feels like they're vets, but they're not. Here's Coach Rod talking about the pass rush.
No, it's just a lot of pressure from Mr. Blank to get after the passer. And those guys really respond when he comes down. Those guys really respond when we bring those guys in. No, all joking aside, we brought those guys in to do that. And I don't know if it's contagious, but it's fun. And those guys like to do it. We talked about having to stop the run early. Those guys really went out, buckled down on the run, forced these guys to be one-dimensional. They was able to get after them.
Yeah, man, the Bucs game in Minnesota, it's kind of funny how last year we lost to the Steelers – in a game that was as frustrating as the Tampa Bay loss. We didn't have the coup miss kick, but right. I thought so many opportunities. That was when Kirk Cousins looked like he was walking around in wet cement. Remember that?
He was.
And then we go up to Philly, and we get the two-minute drill, and we beat. That was when Saquon drops or fumbles the easy touchdown. And then we get the win. So everyone kind of had us losing in Minnesota. And guys, J.J. McCarthy, we knocked him out of the game. He's potentially banged up, but might not even play next week. Carson Wentz looks like he's going to start. And they had their own injuries. We had a third-string tackle. We just talked about our wide receivers on 100%. Cry me a river. Everybody's dealing with injuries around the NFL. So we did what we were supposed to do. The only thing we didn't do is blow Minnesota out, is what we should have done by halftime. Hopefully we can take care of the same kind of situation in Carolina. We're a quarterback who's still a work in progress with an offensive line that's really in shambles right now.
It is.
And a lack of playmakers. So let's hope that we go up there. And, man, all of a sudden I'm thinking about making a road trip, Carl. I'll deal with that traffic. Man, now it's the construction's on the Georgia side of the Carolina line. But anyway, a lot of Falcon fans will be making the ride up to Carolina. We're celebrating a 22-6 win where our defense has not looked like that since we beat the Cowboys in 2017.
The other thing we're celebrating is I think he's the best back. I'm not going to say one of. I think you're seeing the emergence of the new. Saquon is Saquon, and he's been that since he got drafted in 2018. But Bijan Robinson, guys, is that dude. And I want you to hear him talk about where he gets this elusive style. This is interesting because if you're of a certain age, you watch Barry Sanders. We didn't appreciate Barry Sanders until he was gone. Because Barry Sanders never had the offensive line that Emmitt Smith had. He never had the other playmakers around him. And yet he was so different and special. Here's Bijan talking about his elusive style.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously it's a God-given ability that I work on every single day. But for me, like, you know, before the game, I watched, like, Barry Sanders highlights. Yeah. And I always try to take some piece, like, of what he can do and what he does. And he's my favorite running back. And I watch him and LaDainian Tomlinson. But for me, like, as soon as you see a defender in the hole or as soon as you see a defender right there, like, you want to make them as uncomfortable as possible. And for me, like, you never want to make a defender comfortable in the hole, no matter if it's a bad play, bad mix, so you can get vertical. But, yeah, man, I mean, that's just what we do.
Yeah, man, and as we said, Chris Collinsworth, I know usually he makes a lot of Falcon fans' ears bleed. I thought he was, you know, it didn't bother me, but he was good last night, Carl, and I thought paying some tribute to all the things we just talked about, the changes in our defense and how elusive, you know, Bijan is. Some of the best Barry Sanders runs were just to get back to the line of scrimmage for Detroit.
That's true.
And that was Bijan last night, making like basically seven moves to get 5 yards.
Yeah, it's nuts. When he was at Texas, I think he led the country, Mike, in like that 10-yard span where he had the most missed tackles of anybody in the country. And we're talking about like that. Guys, it's so crowded in there, but you guys watch him and you see this happen now with the Falcons where there's two guys that haven't even an angle on him and you go, oh, he's about to get tackled. Whoop, 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 and he's getting 3 or 4 more yards. And you're like, he makes you miss in a very small area. And that's just hard to do. But the special guys like Barry Sanders had that. We're coming back. How did our picks do over the weekend? We're going to tell you when we come back and more of your calls as we are taking plenty of your calls today. How you feeling, by the way? We want to know. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Glad you are here. We are your home for live college football coverage in Atlanta, guys, this Saturday, 8 a.m. Get the day started with college football game time, brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com. And by Alumni Hall, shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and more. It's where fans shop. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman will set the stage of all the big matchups. And then Saturday night, we've got Miami taking on Florida this weekend, followed by the Atlanta United match. That's all Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, who do you like in that game, by the way? Early, we just turned the corner, but it was such a good college football weekend. Miami, Florida this weekend. Florida looks like a mess.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the comments from me and my family. If you didn't see Brian Kelly, man, he was a little hot under the collar. His offense looked about as dysfunctional as our offense did at times.
Yes.
I mean, look, we're celebrating a win. We don't apologize for a victory. But man, the LSU Tigers should have blown out the Gators. That thing should have been about 28-0 at halftime. But it wasn't.
It wasn't.
And the Gators' defense just kept a minute. Yeah, Miami didn't monkey around with USF, if we're honest.
No, not at all.
I mean, it was pretty much – Carson Beck looks great. I mean, there's always that feeling, the trepidation in the back of Miami Hurricane fans that somehow Mario Cristobal in a close game will gack it. But we'll see. But if you're Florida – Florida's got to play Texas. I mean, think about that. I mean, that's the one thing about, if you're a Gator fan, your schedule's a beast. There's no margin for what you did against USF. Now, the LSU game, they've always been upset about having to play it. But you said it, man. They've got Florida plays Miami at the Hard Rock. And then, as you said it, Texas takes on Florida in the Swamp. Real quick, before we get to Day-Day.
Yeah, man.
They're booing Arch Manning in Austin.
Yeah, frustration. He missed a lot of easy throws this last week. They played UTEP, University of Texas, El Paso. That's a game traditionally, Mike, you win by 50. It just is. And even though they won the football game, and again, we don't apologize for wins on this show with the Falcons, they didn't win in the fashion that Texas fans are accustomed to, especially with the hype surrounding Arch Manning. So as he struggled through the game, it got to a point where they were like, what is going on with you, dude? And it's like, is he hurt? People have said that whole grimness thing that happened, a week or two ago, is him throwing the football. Mike, his mechanics are jacked. And that is really what's going on with Arch Manning. Right now, he's got to fix his mechanics. Can't throw off your back foot, Mike. Can't be running across. I know Peyton and Eli were like, what are you doing? He runs across the field, and you saw the Titans quarterback do this week. Cam Ward did it. Yeah. And throw across your body. And he throws a pick in the end zone. All you got to do is protect the ball there. You get points. It's like he's just trying to do too much because of the pressure, but his mechanics are jacked right now.
No, they're saying boo earned.
Yeah, so they did. It did happen. But that's just we're better than they are by 50, and we're playing like this.
Yeah.
And you get the butt of that, or the blunt of that, should I say. Hey, man, Day-Day, what do our picks look like, by the way? How do we do this weekend?
Oh, man, not a terrible weekend. Three of us went 2-1. Three of us went 2-1. So,
who are those two? Who are those three?
Myself. Unfortunately, the Steelers didn't come through. I took them. I took the under on Georgia Tech and Clemson, and then took the LSU 7. So, I'm good there. Mike actually went 1-2.
So course, I'm 4-5 on the year now.
You are 4-5 on the year. I'm 7-2, by the way.
Data's killing it.
But Mike, you're one of your ones.
You still claiming the service he's using
there, Carl? Yes, exactly.
You took that over on the Packers Bears for Thursday night,
right? And that was done. You knew by halfway through the first or second quarter, you weren't going to get that.
Yeah,
over.
You took the Oregon 27.5, and they just
Can I just make an excuse on that one? There's a lot of tequila shots up there at Twin Peaks up in East Ridge, and that was because that's if you think about it, and I didn't. That's an Oregon team coming East Coast for an 11. 7 a.m. start.
Yes.
And it was wet and rainy.
Yeah, and so that was poor planning windy. On my part.
Yeah, but you're one. You did get the LSU along with myself.
But you had to sweat it. You never felt good about that one until literally the final minute.
No, not at all. Not at all. It started looking shaky until DJ Lagway started just
giving the ball four interceptions.
I thought it was five. Yeah.
How does he throw all those interceptions and you not feel good? Like, the problem was, and this is the question, right, that Brian Kelly got afterwards about what they didn't do. And Kelly goes in, if you hadn't seen this footage, Mike just told me he apologized to that reporter.
Yeah, so if you didn't, we were going to talk, it doesn't matter now, we'll talk about it later. But yeah, he basically just goes off on a guy, and the guy had legitimate questions. Kelly basically addressed, you know, he made his opening statement, did say obviously the offense has got to be better. And then, you know, the reporter, you know, pressed him on the offense. Kelly goes, "You really? You start with that?" He goes, I talked about that. Well, but still, Coach, I mean, you get five turnovers, you get four interceptions from DJ Lagway, and your team does nothing with it against the team that, you know, USF was able to go through, like, through a goose when it mattered. So, yeah, so he lost his cool. He specifically apologized to that local TV reporter from Louisiana.
Yeah.
All right, Carl, you went 2-1. You took the Packers 3. Yeah, plus three.
Yeah.
You took Vandy plus three.
That's right.
And
did y'all see that? Vandy smashed Vandy, South Carolina.
Yeah, and yeah. South Carolina, we were talking about it. They were already looking kind of suspect in the passing game. Once the Sellers got knocked
Sellers
out.
Sellers has a concussion?
So he's in concussion,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, Lenora Sellers. And Shane Beamer's upset about
yeah. Well,
a lot
well,
of
you,
stuff
well, you do see it. When they replay it, it was clear targeting.
What happened with Beamer? Was Oh, about
he
a call?
Didn't, because,
they
yeah.
didn't get a targeting shot. And there was also, he thought that Vanderbilt was faking an injury. There was a lot of stuff
Yeah, there was a
on.
Lot, but yeah.
Well, I will say this. The officiating in that game was not great.
Yeah.
I will say that. I thought the officials missed some stuff, but I thought Shane thought he should have got a little bit of home cooking more so than he got. But his team got out.
And the hard part now for Shane, just real quick, because we're friends with Shane, I don't speak for him, but I just know where this is going to go. Virginia Tech is going to come so hard after him, and it's going to be a huge distraction for South Carolina.
Yeah, that is.
Because he's going to – Carl, he's either – the problem is, do you shut it down? Or do you you milk it for another $2 million a year?
Yeah.
Because, you know, with South Carolina, unless you got, let's be honest, Lou Holtz for a minute, Steve Spurrier for 3 years, and then what Beamer, it's still not great, but it's, you know, how it's always about the relative success for South Carolina. What do you anticipate as a fan you should be, right?
That's right.
All right. And then, Carl, your one that you lost was the Cowboys. You took them as a 5
Which
and a half
was a crazy. Yeah. I guess I should have took the over. Who knew?
Man, they get that over in like the third quarter.
Yep. And then Oren went 2-1.
Hey!
Colts, man.
Yeah, Colts. He took the Broncos 1.5, but he made good with the Rams.
Daniel Jones is 2-0.
And then the over on the Bengals and Jags. All right. What's
did you, by the way, real quick, just to mention, because you mentioned or brought it up, did you see the weirdness between Liam Combe and Trevor Lawrence in the Jags game? And then they show the post-game coach's message, which is a losing effort, where he basically tells his team, we got to get our ish together. Right. And the coach signed off on, let's put that public.
Wait a minute. They played well enough to win. The Bengals, I just said this, needed a 92-yard drive to go down with their backup quarterback to win. And he crushed his team?
He's yelling. Well, he didn't crush him, but he put it out. He was definitely crushing Sunshine. He was yelling at him, hit him in the chest! He is yelling that across the field.
Browning came in, though, and threw two picks off the jump, though, Carl.
I know. No, he did. But when it matters most, he took them down the field and they win the game.
I just think Sunshine needs to have a come, and he does come to Jesus, but he needs to have to come to Jesus meeting and figure out where you're at, son. Where are you going to be in this world?
Yeah, where you at, son?
I mean, you got $50 million in the bank. Hey, that like I can make that last for the rest of my life. We were saying it before the show. That was the galactic lock. The boy, the babe is going to reset a franchise, and it just isn't happening.
Yeah,
it's early days. They can turn it around, but still.
Well, look, he's got a guy that helped Baker, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a really good college coach, and I said this to you. I thought he got the job. This is just me. I thought he was like 2 years before what I thought he might have gotten an opportunity. But I think the Jags were desperate. They changed their front office, and so now, you know, he's the guy. But he knows he's tied to this, Mike. He's tied to this. Doug Peterson, guys, had already won a Super Bowl. I'm not saying he wasn't invested like that, but Doug Peterson, like, yeah, I'll come help the kid. We'll see where we can go. I feel like Liam Combe is like, if this doesn't work for me, I might not get another head coaching job, and I'm tied to you. You've got to listen to me, and I make guys better. We're going to see if that works.
All right, let's get back to the Falcons, guys. 6 sacks. On last night.
Six!
And currently, I mean, it's very early, but still, good
Strip
to see
sack.
Them. Top five in team total sacks. How confident are you guys that they can kind of maintain being in that upper echelon when it comes to the sack department?
Well, this was a perfect game for them.
No, it was, but I'll say this.
It makes you hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I desire sex.
And why are you talking like that? It's creeping me out.
Well, you know what? The other night.
Why did you say moist?
I'm not saying that. The other night, I'm flipping through. Blade was on.
Right.
And it had been years. I hadn't watched Blade in forever, right? Wesley Snipes and all that. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching Blade and that last scene where, you know, there's blood dripping from his.
Right.
And I'm just sitting there. But that's what I envisioned, Mike. They're hungry. Mm. They need sex. And I feel like this is the thing that's going to catapult. You right. think Jalen Walker's happy with just getting one highlight?
Right.
You think James Pierce Jr. is happy with getting his first official set? Man, this is just starting.
No, I mean, it's interesting because you get, as we said, Carolina seems to be ripe for the picking. The Commanders, a lot of media experts felt Commanders would take a little bit of a step back. They didn't, for whatever that was the other night, they just didn't let Jaden Daniels run. I mean, I just felt, do some design. Carl, call what you want. Draw plays, do something, get him out in space. We'll see if that evolves in the play calling because Cliff Kingsbury's too smart to not, right?
Yep.
With
yep.
that. But it's Panthers and then the Commanders, and then we get the bye, and then it's Buffalo. And by the way, we talked about the moves that our man was making last night. Did you see James Cook's spin move in the field?
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, man. Well, it's funny because when we did our pre-show on Friday, Carl,
that boy,
I know you
good.
Couldn't make it. Yeah, he is. But I literally was saying to the guy, to Oren and Mike, like how watching the Packers defense get after Jaden Daniels the night before, they ended with 4 sacks and 12 right. QB hits. And I was like, you can't tell me we don't have the guys to do this. So it was great to see us come with 6 and mind you, 6 sacks and mind you, 11 QB hits. So thought that was great. Last one for you guys. Billy Bowman Jr., Xavier Watts. How confident are you guys in the Falcons secondary being okay if AJ Terrell is to miss some extended time?
Well, A.J. Terrell is one of the highest paid defensive backs for a reason, Carl.
He is.
So a little nervous in the service because he takes – generally he will draw the better receiver. And again, as soon as – I didn't like – the one thing I didn't like, only thing I didn't like from Jeff Ulbrich was maybe that wasn't the time to be aggressive before the half when A.J. was out. And that's the one time that Justin Jefferson burns you. But can C.J. Henderson come up from the practice squad? Are they going to just simply elevate the backups right now? Because Clark Phillips, we've talked about his limitations at times, Carl.
I am confident. I'm not skeptical, but I'm more confident with their playmaking than if we didn't see this the first 2 weeks. They have shined. And so with AJ potentially being out, and again, we're speculating. We'll know more by the middle of the week when we go up there and talk to Ra and talk to the guys. But I feel I'm probably more confident than I need to be because I feel like that is an area we just saw last night. The depth showed it showed out. I mean, and again, I don't know why JJ wasn't necessarily looking for the best wide receiver in the league, and I don't care who's covering him. Like, I still have to throw him the ball. Mike mentioned DK Metcalf, like Aaron Rodgers. You still have to throw these guys the ball. Either way, I felt like the way that we played him and the coverages, and remember, at one point, Billy Bowman, I don't know if you guys realize this, was covering Justin Jefferson. Like, that is not common where you throw a rookie out there and go, yeah, man, you got this dude. And you know what you're up against. So I feel pretty confident, but I still need AJ back. We know how important he is to this defense.
Yeah, man. All right. That's all I got on my mind, guys. It was a great football weekend, especially Saturday.
Everybody wins. Yeah, you get a win, and you get
Saturday
a win.
Saturday was Woo! Phenomenal Brent, college football TV. Man,
Brent Key, we're going to talk to him coming up, guys, at 4:20. Arch's guy. Do you know who the player guest is, bro? For today, for the coaching show at 6?
I heard it's Brandon Dorlis. Maybe Bo can text us and let us know. If, in fact, it is Brandon Dorlis. I believe it's Brandon Dorlis, but
always we'll listening, watching, judging.
Yeah, we'll see. I believe it is. So Arch will do all that today. That'll be at 6 when we get done. All right, we got more to dive into. Brent Key is on the way. Mike mentioned it. Also, we got to talk a little bit more, and we're going to dive in deep tomorrow, guys, as the week goes on. Georgia's not playing this weekend. Bye week, okay? But what a heck of a way to go into your bye week with the win against Tennessee. We're going to talk about it. And the thing that was impressive, we talked about it in our pre-show meeting. It's online, odyssey.com. You can check it out. Dukes and Bell, it's all over the places. We were talking about what really impressed us in this game. We'll tell you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.